Hi, and welcome to the White Hill podcast series. My name is Roger. I'm one of the pastors here at White Hill, and we're glad that you've chosen to listen to one of the podcast messages today. Our prayer is that you would be challenged and inspired to take the next steps in your journey with God as you listen to this message. If you want to keep in touch with more things that are happening at White Hill, head to our website at whitehill.church and you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. Enjoy this message now.
As a young girl, I wanted more than anything for Christmas to get a Barbie doll. I wanted it so badly. I can't describe to you how much I wanted it. I told my mother, that's exactly what I want for Christmas. I remember I had this little book that had all these pictures of different Barbies. This is before the internet. All these different Barbies with clothes and accessories that you could get. And I pored for hours imagining my Barbie dressed up in this outfit or this outfit. I imagined what it could be like. All my friends had Barbies. I didn't have one. And I hoped, beyond hope, that I would get one for Christmas. Well, finally, Christmas Day arrived. And I woke up really early. I ran to the tree, and there underneath were all these packages. But there was one package there with my name on it. And it was the right shape. It was the right size. I was so hopeful. I could hardly contain myself, but I had to be quiet and wait for the others to wake up, which is so annoying. But anyway, finally, the rest of the household woke up, and it was time to unwrap the presents. I reached for that present. I tore that paper off. It flew everywhere. And there, I couldn't believe it, in my hands was a Cindy doll. It's like, what? A Cindy doll? A Cindy doll isn't a Barbie doll. A Cindy doll has brown hair. It's like, oh, I could imagine what my friends would say as I looked at what was in my hands. I was so disappointed. My hopes were dashed. I know, thank you. Now, before you go mad at my mother for totally misunderstanding her child, about 25 years later, I did exactly the same thing to my daughter. So, you know, it kind of comes back at you. But have you ever been in that position where you just so hoped for something to come? Maybe you're a child, or maybe it's now. Maybe you are hoping for something to come to pass. You're hoping with all your being that it will come true, only to find yourself disappointed, like I was. Have you been in that place where your hopes have not been realized and you've been disappointed? Can hope be certain? Can it be something that you can rely on, that you can cling to and hold on to? Well, last week we started our Christmas series, Hope is Here, and Brad preached a great message. If you missed it, I encourage you to catch up on YouTube. But he described Jesus in the book of John about Jesus being the Word who was the light who had come into our darkness. And we're going to explore some more today about this Jesus and how he can be our hope. So we're going to take a look and we're going to continue reading in the Gospel of John chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them up or you can look up at the screen. The words will be up there. So we're going to be starting in verse 10. And it says, he, and this is talking about Jesus, he was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, you probably noticed that as I read this, there were no verses about a manger or a star or Mary and Joseph or shepherds or wise men. John's account doesn't mention any of the things that we would expect to hear about the Christmas story. Why would he not even mention that as he introduces Jesus? I mean, isn't that the Christmas story? Isn't that the story that we know? But it's like John has taken a step back from this nativity scene. He's taken a step back and he gives us a glimpse of what is happening in the big picture, behind the scenes. He gives us the story behind the story. And I don't know about you, but I love that. I love to know what's going on behind the scenes. I love to listen to people talk about how they wrote the book or how they made the film. I love the story behind the scenes. And John gives us a glimpse of this big picture, giving us a different picture of Jesus. He wanted to help his readers understand that this Jesus is more than just this sweet little baby in a manger. He is so much more. So how does he do this? So let's take a look. In verse 10, he starts, he, that was Jesus, was in the world. And then in verse 14, he says, the Word, which also talks about Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Back in verse 3, John had told us that through Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So Jesus, the Word, who had created the world, was now in the world. He became flesh. God became flesh. God was here in the world. He became human and lived among us. Just stop for a minute and try to wrap your head around that. Jesus was God wrapped in human flesh. God became flesh. God who created the world with a word. This God of power and might now moved in a human arm. The God of all wisdom now spoke from human lips. The God of mercy and love now reached out to play with children, heal people of diseases, and touch those who were marginalized. God the Creator became like the created. God the divine, all-powerful, without limits, became confined to a body. He became fragile, limited. He became susceptible to pain and sorrow and grief and rejection and death. He was fully human. But even though God became human, he did not lose his deity. He remained God. God added humanity, but he did not subtract deity. Let me say that again. God added humanity, but he did not subtract deity. He was fully God and fully man. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, described it this way in Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7. He said, "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." The one who made everything willingly made himself nothing. The infinite God was willing to leave the glories of heaven. He was willing to leave all of that behind and take on humanity in the form of a tiny, unborn baby boy. And this baby was born just as we were born. He grew up in a family, in a community. He learnt the family trade alongside Joseph. He probably made tables and houses. He was a flesh and blood man, born of a woman, with a human nature just like ours. He felt pain. He felt sorrow. He felt joy. He felt laughter, the whole spectrum of human emotions. And he experienced struggles just like we experience struggles. He experienced temptations just like we experience temptation. Why did God become flesh? Why did he do that? Back in the book of Genesis, before sin entered the world, he loved coming to the garden in the cool of the day to be with Adam and Eve, walking and talking with them. God is a relational God. God came close because he wants a relationship with us, with me, and with you. God did not want to be distant. He came here to be with us. In John 1:14, it says he made his dwelling among us. Eugene Peterson describes it as God moved into the neighborhood. Theologians use the word incarnation, which just means that Jesus, the Son of God, took on human flesh. Well, some people said Jesus wasn't really a man. He just kind of looked like a man. Others said that he had the body of a man, but he didn't have a human soul. And still others said Jesus was kind of like two people in one, sort of half God, half man. And some people said, it was all nonsense. Jesus wasn't God at all. They claimed he's just an ordinary person like you and like me. But John, who was with Jesus, who was one of Jesus' closest disciples, says in verse 14, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." John writes, "We have seen." He uses a word, that word seen, he uses it and it means to gaze intently upon. And it's a word that we use in our English word for theater. So just like we see a show and we gaze upon someone on a stage, we have seen the glory, his glory, John says, the visible manifestation of God's presence and God's power. We have seen the one and only Son of God with our own eyes, John says. When Jesus walked on the earth, people could see him. They could look at him. They could gaze upon God's presence shining through him. They saw with their own eyes God's power as he healed people, as he forgave people of their sins. They could see with their own eyes his love and compassion. Jesus was not invisible. He was not obscure. He was in the world. And when you looked at the face of Jesus, you were looking at the face of God. God became flesh. God wants to be seen and he wants to be known by us. He wants to be known. I remember the first Christmas after my marriage had broken up. It was a horrible time. You know, Christmas is supposed to be merry and bright and joyful and celebrating. But when your life is falling apart, it doesn't feel joyful. And it certainly doesn't feel like you have anything to celebrate. I felt heartbroken and I felt hopeless. And Christmas time can be that way for a lot of people. It can be a hard time. Perhaps for you, you have lost loved ones this year. Perhaps there'll be empty spaces around the table this year. Perhaps for you, your marriage is broken up and now you have to share kids between families. Many people can find themselves without hope. But this passage reminds us that hope is here because God left heaven to be with us. He sent his son, and in verse 14, it says he made his dwelling among us. And that literally means to pitch a tent. He pitched a tent among us. It implies that God wants to be on familiar terms with us. He wants to be close. He wants to interact with us. He wants to be among us. If someone comes into a community and builds this great big mansion with a big 8-foot wall around it, you can kind of guess that they don't really want to interact with their neighbors or their community. But if someone comes along and they pitch a tent right in your backyard, well, they're probably going to have to use your bathroom, aren't they? More than likely, you'll eat some meals with them. They'll probably play in the backyard with your kids. And this is why God became human. He came to pitch a tent in our human backyard so that we would know God, so that we would experience who God is. We would experience his love and mercy and kindness up close. That we wouldn't need to feel alone and without hope. God became flesh and dwelt among us. But what does that mean for my life, really? I mean, what do I do with that, knowing that? Well, people reacted in different ways. In verse 10, it says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. The world did not recognize him, meaning the people that inhabit this planet, they didn't recognize him. People in Jesus' day didn't recognize him. They missed him. He came among them. He was right there. They were in the presence of God, divine royalty, and they didn't recognize him. Some versions say they didn't know him. Know in the Greek carries the idea of relationship. It's more than just this intellectual knowledge about the facts of a person. It's like you know your children or you know your parents, the ones that you have a relationship with. I remember when my son worked in Sydney, I went down one weekend to visit with him and I flew down in the plane and I caught the train from the airport to Central Station in Sydney, which I'd never done before. So it was Friday afternoon, knock off time from work, and I found my platform. I'm standing on the platform with my luggage, and I don't know whether you've ever been to Sydney on Central Station on a Friday afternoon at knock off time. Like, this is before COVID. There were people everywhere. There were hundreds of people. I could hardly move. And as I stood on this platform at the spot that Matt told me to stand, I'm thinking, how on earth on this platform am I going to find my son? There were so many people and so many entries onto the platform. I didn't know which direction he was going to come from. How are we going to find each other? And so I scanned the crowd, trying to look through heads, looked through people, looking for Matt. He sent me a message. I'm on my way. It's like, okay, where are you? And then way over in the distance, I see this curly top of a head. I go, that's Matt. This curly top came closer and closer, and gradually the crowd parted, and there was Matt coming towards me. I knew that curly head because I knew my son. We know the people that we know, isn't it? We know our children. We know the people. We recognize them. We know the color of their eyes, we know their voice, we know their smell. We know who they are, we recognize them because we know them. So how do we recognize Jesus? God became flesh so that we could get to know him. He dwelt amongst us because he wants us to know him. When we look at the life of Jesus written in the Gospels, we see God with flesh on. We see how God loves, how he interacts with people, how he acts towards people, how he forgives, how he notices those who are off in the margins. When Jesus came, Herod hated him. He was threatened by him, and there was no room for his family at the inn. They didn't recognize who he was, and we too can miss recognizing Jesus. So what sort of things could stand in our way of recognizing Jesus? Perhaps we get too focused on the now, on this, on our life, our little picture. You know, we're caught up in our busyness, too distracted by all the things we have to do, especially at this time of year. Perhaps we're too driven by our career, too consumed with pursuing happiness. We have so much going on in our little world. But God wants to be recognized. He wants us to know him. And if we stop for long enough, if we step back, we will notice the fingerprints of God all around us in the world that he created. Perhaps for you, you recognize Jesus as just a good man, as someone who healed people from sickness and disease, who was kind to the poor and the marginalized. But was he more than that? Perhaps for you, you even recognize him as the Son of God. You say, yeah, I can believe that God became flesh. Okay. But recognizing that he is who he claimed to be is the first step. But then we have a choice to make as to what we do with that. And people in Jesus' day made this choice. Firstly, we can choose to reject him. And some people did that. In verse 11, it says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. John tells us that he came to that which was his own. Jesus came to his own land, Palestine, and to his own people, the Jews. And they did not receive him. He came to a land which was particularly God's land and to a people that were particularly God's people. He ought therefore to have been coming home to a nation and a people that would welcome him with open arms. The doors should have been wide open, the red carpet rolled out, the band should have been playing as they welcomed Jesus. But he was rejected. In verse 11, it says, his own did not receive him. That means they did not welcome him. Just like Mary and Joseph were not received at the inn, Jesus was not received by his own people. Jesus was rejected by the very people that he created. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, it says, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. God had chosen the Jews as his people. And it was this heritage that the Jews were concerned about. They thought that as children of Abraham, they had special privilege with God. They thought that they were acceptable to God because of their heritage, because of the past, because of who they were connected to. And we can do that too. We can reject Jesus because we think that we are already good enough for God, based on all sorts of things. And maybe it is our own heritage. Maybe we have a family who are a Christian family. So we think that means that we are acceptable to God because of what our family believes. Maybe we feel we are acceptable to God because of all the good things we do. Maybe we give to charities, we help the poor, we feed the homeless. All of these good acts that we do. Surely that makes us acceptable to God. But God says the only way to be acceptable to Him is to do the other choice, which is to receive Him, to welcome Him, to know Him as the Son of God, as our Lord and Savior. In verse 12 it says, "Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, yet." Don't you love those little words? Yet implies that this rejection was not the full story. There was more to tell. And it says that there were those who received Him, who believed in His name. What does it mean to believe in His name? It means to trust, to have faith in. It's not just believing about the facts about someone, believing that God or Jesus existed, but it's a believing where the realization of who He is, the Son of God, becomes something that you trust in, that you welcome Jesus into your life and you take a step of faith to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and get to know Him, be in relationship with Him. Believing and receiving, they go together. It's an act of faith. And we can either choose to reject Jesus, dismiss who He is, or we can receive Him, believe Him, and trust our lives to Him. There's no middle. It's one or the other. When we choose to receive Jesus, to welcome Him into our lives, God does the most wonderful thing. It says in verse 12, "Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." He gave the right to become children of God. Jesus gives all who welcome Him, who believe in His name, in who He is, He gives them the right, the authority to become children of God. And these children of God are not designated by their flesh, by their race, by their gender, or any other physical characteristics, but by their belief, their complete trust in the one whom God had sent into the world. He gave the right. That means it is a gift from God. It is a word of grace, something God gives, not something that we earn. We cannot earn our way to God, no matter how good we try to be, no matter how many kind things we do. We can never be good enough for a holy God. Jesus was the only one who, though He was human, remember, He was fully God and was there, and therefore was without sin. And when we receive Jesus, when we believe and trust in Him, we become children of God. We don't have a word that translates well in English, this, what all of that means, that word children, except for maybe kids, which is so inadequate. But Rachel and Matthew, they're my kids. They were born to me, and no matter how big they get, no matter how old they are, they will always be my kids. They'll always be my kids. But when I went to Scotland on a trip once, I noticed that they have a different word that they call their kids. And this word is a little bit closer to what children here in this verse represents. they use the word bairn. Now, I have a really bad Scottish accent, I apologize, but B-A-I-R-N. The Scottish people call their children their bairns. And it not only emphasizes that these children were born to them, but it's kind of like a term of endearment. So when we believe Jesus, we become God's bairns, his little ones, related to him by birth. We are his kids, his loved children, born into his family. Do you need some hope in your life? Do you need to know that you have something that is certain, something that is sure, something that you can hang your life on? To know that there is someone who would leave heaven and come to be born in a manger for you because he wants you to know him. He wants you to be a part of his family. Perhaps for you this Christmas, you recognize that Jesus was not just a nice Christmas story, but he was God who became flesh, who came because he desires a relationship with you. And this baby grew and he lived a sinless life that led to being killed on a cross. And he died a painful death. Why? So that you could have relationship with God. This relationship is not based on your own merits, but based on Jesus, who lived a sinless life. And he took our sin upon him. All the things that we have done wrong, the mistakes that we've made, he paid the penalty for them. And he's inviting you to receive him, to believe in his name and trust him and become his bairn, his child, his family. This Christmas can be one that is filled with hope for you. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never trusted in him, if you've never made that decision or that choice, if you've never recognized that he is God who became flesh for you, I want to invite you today to take the opportunity to do that. And you can do it right here and right now, right where you are. God is inviting you to know him. And if you'd like to do that, I'm going to pray a simple prayer that you can pray just in the quietness of your mind along with me. So I'm going to ask everyone just to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you would like to receive Jesus today, would you say these words in your mind along with me? Dear God, thank you that you came to this world, that you took on humanity, and lived here among us. Jesus, thank you that you lived a sinless life and that at the cross you took my sin upon you. Thank you for paying the price necessary for my salvation. Lord, I receive you. From this moment on, I believe and trust in you with all my life. Lord, thank you for inviting me to be your child and to get to know you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, let me say welcome. Welcome to the family. God is so delighted that you are here and you've prayed that prayer today. We are so delighted and we would love to encourage you in your faith journey. We have a Bible and some resources that will help you to get to know God better. So please come and talk to either myself or Pastor Roger or Pastor Brad or someone on the Connect team with the red lanyard. If you're watching online this morning and you prayed that prayer, please go to the whitehill.church/connect. Fill in the form, tell us and share with us. We would love to journey with you in that. But what if you're sitting here and you've already received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Maybe you did that as a child. Maybe you did that recently. What does this mean for you? What does this story mean for you? If you've ever been to a wedding, You know that the bride and the groom, they stand in front of everyone and they say vows to each other. That is a commitment, a receiving of each other. But it doesn't stop there. Imagine if after you said your vows, you kind of went on with your life and just kind of connected in maybe once a week with each other and just lived your life. It would be ridiculous, wouldn't we? Wouldn't it? And it's the same for us when we receive Jesus. We want to get to know him. We want to grow in relationship. Marriages only work as they grow together. And that's what we need in our relationship with Jesus. We grow in him by reading his word, by praying to him, by listening to him, by communing with him. That's how we grow. And is that something that you are doing on a regular basis? Or are you just kind of touching in just every now and again, maybe at church each week? God is longing to have a relationship with you. And we can let a whole lot of stuff get in the way of that. The busyness of life is always going to be there. It's never going to be quiet. I hate to tell you that. But would you today commit to making a space, a regular time that you spend with God, reading his words to you, listening to his voice, talking to him, growing in relationship with him? Would you do that? Would you make Christmas 2021 the time where you started to get serious with your relationship with Jesus? If you need help with that, please come and talk with me. I would love to help you. But you can start today. Make this the first day of a deeper relationship with Jesus in your life. Let's pray. Dear God, we're so thankful to you that you were willing to leave your throne of heaven, where angels gathered around you singing praises day and night, and you left that and you came to this earth as a human. You became flesh for us. Lord, I thank you that you so desire a relationship with us, that you would go to the ends of the earth to do it. Lord, I pray for those who are sitting here this morning or who are watching online that have made that decision to receive you today. I pray that you would give them courage to tell others. And I pray that you would bless them as they seek you and as they grow in their relationship with you. For those of us sitting here who perhaps have gotten a bit complacent about our relationship with you, we've gotten a bit slack. Lord, I pray that you would stir in our hearts the desire to get to know you in a deeper way. Lord, you are waiting for us. We know that. You never leave us or forsake us, and you are waiting for us to meet with you. And I pray that we would get serious about that in this Christmas season. We thank you for the hope that is in you, our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Won't you stand to your feet? We're going to finish with a beautiful Christmas song.
Thank you for listening today. If you live locally here in the Ipswich region, we would love to invite you to come and join us in person here at one of our Sunday gatherings at Whitehill. For more information on our services or our ministries, head on over to our website at whitehill.church. If you're interested also in taking next steps in your relationship with Jesus, please also at our website, hit the connect button and let us know where you're at. We would love to catch up with you either over a coffee or on a phone call to chat with you about where you're at. We hope you've enjoyed watching this message. And we pray that God would continue to bless you as you seek him in your daily life. God bless.